This goes to Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, Ellery, E-L-L-E-R-Y hyphen Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N. And like November, P like practice. Fax 989-486-9092. Regarding Jean, J-E-A-N, last name Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. Date of birth, November 2nd of 1947. Dear Miss Ellery hyphen Peterson, this is a consultation for Mrs. Stewart, who was sent for evaluation of microalbuminuria and an isolated creatinine elevation July 10th of this year. She is a very obese woman who's had obesity for many years. And she did have the gastric sleeve surgery done in 2018 without significant weight loss, and then was able to start Trulicity, and she was able to lose 60 pounds on the Trulicity. And then there, that's the weight loss stopped, and now she's currently on Ozempic, and within the last 18 months, she's lost a total of 100 pounds. And since that time, she has been, at least for 6 months, has been experiencing intermittent episodes of dizziness. She notices them soon after she gets out of bed in the morning, and she actually has to lay down to resolve the symptoms. She starts sweating quite profusely. She gets nauseated and then begins to vomit when this happens. It does resolve spontaneously, but she has not checked her blood pressure when that's happened. She's not fallen either, but those symptoms have been pretty problematic. Her biggest complaint today, unrelated to kidney disease, would be severe left knee pain, which is caused by bone-on-bone arthritis of the left hip. Dr. Lilly in Mount Pleasant, Ryan Lilly, R-Y-A-N Lilly, would like to do a left total hip replacement, but she will need to have cardiac clearance and also renal clearance, she believes. And so she's asking to have renal clearance so she can have surgery on that hip. She's hoping she'll be able to walk better and continue with her weight loss and exercise program. She does report that she's had urinary incontinence for a year, though. She's really not sure why, but she thought it might be related to spinal stenosis. She had an MRI of the lumbar spine, which showed some spinal stenosis. But we will get a copy of that report and review it. She's not always incontinent, but it has been very bad for the last year. She's not had a kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder, and we will be scheduling one of those for her. Also, she has used initially Vioxx, and then that was taken off the market. And after that was removed from the market, she was on Celebrex, 200 milligram a day, for 20 years. And within the last year, because of her severe pain, the dose was increased to 200 milligram twice a day. The other medication that interacts with the Celebrex is lisinopril. She was on 20 milligram a day for hypertension since 2017, and that was recently decreased to 10 milligram a day. That is a very good medication for microalbuminuria, though, and that's the main reason she was referred. In July 10th of 2023, microalbumin to creatinine ratio was 186, so in the microscopic range. And the creatinine level was 1.08 with a GFR of 54. Then July 9th of 2023, normal creatinine of 0.7. Normal hemoglobin 13.2, excellent lipid panel. Her sodium is 140, potassium 4.1, carbon dioxide 33, albumin was 4.3. Microalbumin to creatinine ratio was normal, 12 at that time. And 8/19 of 2022, microalbumin to creatinine ratio is also normal at 18. But the urine analysis was negative for blood, but had 1 plus protein noted. Creatinine was 0.8 at that time. Currently, she also reports that she had pulmonary testing. She had to do a 6-minute walking test, which she passed, and she had to do pulmonary function tests, and she also passed those. The patient does not smoke or use electronic cigarettes, but she does have some shortness of breath with exertion. And as she walked in the office today, she was able to be weighed and then became extremely dizzy. And when we took her blood pressure after standing to get weighed, it was 90 over 50. She had to sit for several minutes to recover. And finally, within 5 minutes, blood pressure sitting, left arm, was 120 over 60. So it did improve, but that was the dizziness may have been caused by hypotension, from orthostatic hypotension. She currently denies headaches. She has not passed out. She usually will lay down when this dizziness occurs, and that seems to resolve the symptoms completely. She does have some edema of the lower extremities, and chronic anxiety and depression, as well as ADHD. She's not diabetic, but does have dysmetabolic syndrome and chronic obesity for many years. She did have one trip to the ER in 2022 for rectal bleeding and abdominal pain, and it was thought to be colitis. She did have an incomplete prep, and then a colonoscopy was attempted, but since the prep was incomplete, the results were not conclusive, and she has not been able to get that rescheduled. But at this point, she wants to have her hip taken care of before she goes any further with colonoscopies or other testing. Her cardiologist is Dr. Susan Salach, S-A-L-L-A-C-H, and she sees her generally every year for aortic stenosis, and her last echocardiogram was done January 9th of 2023, and she did have a 73% ejection fraction. Both atria were dilated. She had mild to moderate aortic stenosis, and she has mild moderate mitral valve stenosis also, which is a new finding, she reports. Past medical history, she has the aortic stenosis and now mitral stenosis. Hypertension, hyperlipidemia, gastroesophageal reflux disease, chronic obesity, obstructive sleep apnea with CPAP device, edema of the lower extremities, history of endometrial carcinoma that was caught very early and completely treated with her hysterectomy and bilateral scalping oophorectomy, arthritis, anxiety and depression, obesity, which was chronic, dysmetabolic syndrome, the urinary incontinence for 1 year, and the one instance of rectal bleeding thought to be colitis in 2022. Past surgical history, she's had the total abdominal hysterectomy and bilateral scalping oophorectomy. She had a right total knee replacement in 2005 and the left total knee replacement in 2006, bilateral carpal tunnel release, bilateral cataract removal, EGD. She had gastric sleeve surgery in 2018, colonoscopy. Most recent one was not a good prep, and tonsillectomy in 1952. Social history, The patient is a non-smoker. She does not use electronic cigarettes. She does not use alcohol or illicit drugs. She is divorced. She has three adult children from the marriage, but lives alone with two cats. Family history is significant for glaucoma, diabetes, cancer, hypertension, and hyperlipidemia. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, she's allergic to sulfa medications and nickel. Medications, Celebrex 200 milligram twice a day, Cymbalta 30 milligram twice a day, Vistaril 25 milligram as needed for anxiety, and she's tapering off Xanax. Norco is 7.5/325 twice a day, Ozempic 2 milligram once weekly, Omeprazole 20 milligram daily, Effexor XR 150 milligram daily, Zocor 20 milligram daily, Lisinopril 10 milligram daily in the evening, Vitamin D3 200 units daily, Calcium citrate daily. She has used Adderall last year. It was 5 milligram every other day for ADHD and depression, but she's currently not on Adderall and, at this time. Physical exam, height is 62 inches, weight 219 pounds. Blood pressure standing was 90 over 50, sitting 120 over 60. Pulse was 104 standing and sitting. Pulse was 70. Oxygen saturation is 99% on room air. Tympanic membranes and canals are clear. Pharynx is difficult to visualize due to a very prominent tongue. Appears clear. Tonsils are surgically absent. Neck is supple. No jugular venous distension. No lymphadenopathy. Lungs are clear without rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart sounds are distant. Difficult to hear, but there is a very faint aortic murmur. Abdomen obese, non-tender, no ascites, no palpable masses. Extremities, a trace to 1 plus edema of the ankles bilaterally with brisk capillary refill, 2 seconds, and sensation and motion are intact in the lower extremities. And labs, those were previously discussed. Most recent creatinine level, we don't have one since June 10th. The previous creatinine levels were all in the normal range, 0.8 and 0.7. So we do need to repeat the creatinine level to see if this is actually a true finding or just an isolated elevated creatinine level. And we're also going to repeat the microalbumin to creatinine ratio and urinalysis to screen for blood and protein, as well as phosphorus levels. Assessment and plan. Microalbuminuria with one isolated creatinine elevation. Most likely, this is possibly secondary to this weight loss. Can also be from long-term non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug use over 20 years, possibly urinary retention. This could be overflow incontinence. So we are scheduling her for a kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder scan in Claire. We're also going to get a copy of the MRI of the lumbar spine results to review to be sure there's not cauda equina syndrome found on that exam. She does have symptomatic hypotension, so I have asked her to continue to monitor blood pressures at home. We don't wish to change lisinopril yet, since that is effective in treating proteinuria, but that may need to either be tapered down to 5 milligram a day or possibly held if she continues to have symptomatic hypotension, orthostatic type at this time. We've also asked her to wean off Celebrex. Instead of 2 a day, she should take 1 a day for about 7 to 10 days, and then 200 milligram every other day for another 7 to 10 days. And then we believe she could stop completely at that point and use Norco and Tylenol, or maybe be referred to a pain clinic if needed. And we're going to have her repeat labs now with the urine and have a follow-up visit with her in the next 3 to 4 months. We'll be able to make a better determination about surgical clearance once we get the updated labs done also. The patient had a prolonged visit. She had many questions about kidney disease and medication tapering, etc. And she was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.